This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Hi, this is Bob Lentz, manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Ford Motor Company has an exclusive offer for Illinois Farm Bureau members. Get a $500 bonus cash savings off a vehicle MSRP towards the purchase or lease of any eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See your Ford Lincoln dealer for complete details and qualifications. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today for this and other great benefits.
Ooh. Ah, that's what you'll be saying after you slip on a pair of Dr. Comfort orthotic sandals, now available at Michelle's Pharmacy. These are extremely lightweight sandals that help correct posture and alleviate foot and back pain, as well as aching legs. Try on a pair at Michelle's Pharmacy, and don't forget about free delivery only from Michelle's Pharmacy. Healthier, happier feet start right here at Michelle's Pharmacy in Gillespie and Carlinville.
First of all, in our farm news on this Tuesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at $7.99 and a quarter, down 11 and a half. September wheat trading at $8.18 and three quarter, down 9 and a half. July corn now trading at $7.67 and a quarter, down 8. September corn trading at $7.24 and three quarter, down 7 and a quarter. July beans trading at $16.53 and a half, down 11 and a half. August beans trading at $15.99 and three quarter, and that is down 7. The overnight crude oil market, 49 cents lower at $85.50. The Brent crude, $1.08 lower at $99.24. The August gold contract, $4.80 higher at $1,593.80. The U.S. dollar index, 0.079 lower at 83.082. Closing prices on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at $8.10 and three quarter. That was up 19 and a half. September wheat closed at $8.28 and a quarter, up 22. December wheat closed at $8.43 and three quarter, up 22. July corn yesterday closed at $7.75 and a quarter, up 32. September corn closed at $7.32, up 36 and three quarter. December corn closed at $7.30. That was up 37. July soybeans yesterday closed at $16.65, up 45 and a quarter. August beans closed at $16.06 and three quarter, up 39 and a half. And September beans closed at $15.73, up 41. July soybean meal yesterday closed at $4.85.50, up $1.39. August meal closed at $4.74, up $1.25. And September meal closed at $4.66.50, up $1.21. July soybean oil yesterday closed at $54.43, up $1.16. August oil closed at $54.56, up $1.12. And September oil closed at $54.75, up $1.11. Right now, we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were sharply higher on Monday afternoon. Continued dry weather pushed corn and soybean prices higher. The USDA's crop condition report had 40% of the U.S. corn crop in the good to excellent category. down from 48% a week ago. Soybeans also had 40% rated good to excellent in the U.S. That's down from 45% last week. Northern and Western Illinois grandiose quoted their corn bids 29 to 32 cents higher at 753 to 767. Soybeans traded 39 to 41 cents higher at 1625 to 1646. Central Illinois grandiose quoted their corn bids 25 to 37 cents higher at 759 to 781. Soybeans 39 to 41 cents higher at 1613 to 1650. And wheat bids were 20 to 21 cents higher at 791 to 812. Corn bids in southern Illinois were up 34 to 39 cents at 769 to 782. Soybeans 35 to 37 cents higher at 1621 to 1657. And wheat was up 22 to 23 cents at 786 to 839. St. Louis area country elevators mills reported their corn bids 34 to 39 cents higher at 769 to 776. Soybeans were up 39 to 41 cents at 1647 to 1657. And wheat closed 20 to 23 cents higher at 786 to 793. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 25 to 36 cents higher at 775 to 786. Soybeans were 38 to 42 cents higher at 1657 to 1690. Wheat was up 17 to 22 cents at 778 to 801. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators cost their corn bids 20 to 25 cents higher at 788 to 796. These elevators raised their soybean prices 41 to 45 cents with quotations at 815 to 816. Wheat closed 20 cents higher at 815 to 816. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivery in northern and western Illinois on corn had a range of 688 to 698. Soybeans 1507 to 1523. Central Illinois corn contracts went at $7 to 717, with the soybeans 1512 to 1530. In southern Illinois, corn contracts were wrote at $7 to 730, soybeans at 1526 to 1544. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, July hogs closed at 96.80, up 57. August hogs closed at 93.95, up 65. October hogs closed at 84.12, up 187. August cattle yesterday closed at 119.05, down 15. October cattle closed at 123.60, down a nickel. December cattle closed at 127.50, down 35. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 144.27, down 225. September feeders closed at 147.27, down 277. October feeders closed at 149.62, down 297. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Monday, July 9th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, Dilutric hogs, barrels, and gilts closed a dollar lower, with a carcass-based price range of 87.5 to 97, weighted average 91.40. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 13,700. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade was 2 to 4 lower at 61 to 66, with Illinois direct slaughter sows 1 to 3 lower. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds traded from 41 to 45. 450 to 550 pounds at 44 to 48. Over 550 pounds at 46 to 48. Boars under 300 pounds, 35 to 42, and over 300 pounds, 15 to 21. Today's estimated receipts, 850, Friday's actual, 625. Pork carcass cutout, 89.87, that is down 26 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs for today, 393,000. Last week, 420,000. A year ago, 383,000. Cattle for today, 127,000. Last week, 126,000, and a year ago, 128,000. Box beef cutout values were sharply lower on choice and firm on select on light to moderate demand and moderate offerings. Total movement today, 174 fab loads with 29 trim. Choice, 190.51, that is down $2.14. Select at 175.07, and that is up 36 cents. At the Illinois auctions, which we cover, no price comparison available, due to all but one auction closed last week in observance of the holiday. Illinois direct slaughter cattle, due to very limited test last week, no accurate price comparison available for live or dress sales. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $1.54, up 3/4. For block cheese, $1.64, unchanged. For barrel cheese, $1.66, down 1.5. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $16.60. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, $7.80. For August, $7.17. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, $7.72. For August, $7.09. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for July, $16.47. And for August, $15.41. Wheat delivered to Scottville for July, $7.78. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.80, corn at Scottville, $7.72, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $16.47, wheat at Scottville, $7.78. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Greenyard Lawn Care by FS is currently applying steps 3 and 4 of its 6-part program. It's the time of year for summer fertilizer, grub prevention application, and to check evergreen trees and other plants for bagworms. Give Greenyard Professional Lawn Care by FS a call at 1-800-962-7331. For a free estimate and scouting of your plants, call Greenyard Lawn Care by FS. It's a service of M&M Service Company, the local solution for your world of needs.
And across mid-Illinois today, sunny skies, the high about 90 degrees with light northeast winds, mostly clear tonight, low temperatures in the low 60s. For tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high about 90. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy with a day-to-day chance of showers, low temperatures in the low 70s, highs about 90. Right now at the Weather Center, we have light northwest winds, the barometric pressure is steady, and our temperature 64 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The 2012 Macoupin County Fair, Monday through Saturday, July 16th through the 21st at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds in Carlinville. Don't miss all the entertainment and family fun the fair offers, like harness racing and the Little Miss and Mr. Contest Monday, the Queen and Junior Miss Contest Tuesday night, a show by the Jimmy Fortune Trio Wednesday night, and much more. Mark your calendars, the 2012 Macoupin County Fair takes over the fairgrounds in Carlinville, July 16th through the 21st. The Macoupin County Fair, come back home to Macoupin County, online at macoupincountyfair.org.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. Here's the weekly crop condition report. We join Brad Schwab of the Illinois Agricultural Statistics Service.
Statewide temperatures averaged a blistering 86 degrees, which was nearly 11 degrees above normal. Rainfall accumulations, on the other hand, were well below normal at only 22 1/100 of an inch, which came in 63 1/100 of an inch short of normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, July 8th. There were a total of 6.9 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies were reported at 67% very short, 29% short, and 4% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 65% very short, 28% short, and 7% adequate. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 1,441, which was 170 units, or 13% ahead of the historic average. Corn growth has been slowed by recent drought conditions, with a reported average height of 68 inches, a growth of only 4 inches last week, and this height is compared to 49 inches a year ago and 56 for the 5-year average. Corn in the silked stage was reported at 77%, compared to 22% 1 year ago and 33% for the 5-year average. 8% of the crop was reported in the dough stage, and this compares with 1% last year and 2% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn dough stage was the West Southwestern District, reporting 18%. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in only 19% good or excellent condition, down 6 percentage points from last week. Soybean blooming advanced to 42%, compared to 14% a year ago and 24% for the 5-year average. 6% of the crop was setting pods, compared to 3% last year and for the 5-year averages. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 20% good or excellent condition, down 8 percentage points from last week. In other crops around the state, pastures and alfalfa were rated in poor to fair condition, this decline a result of the continued drought. The second cutting of alfalfa was reported at 94%, and this can be compared to 58% last year and 56% for the 5-year average. The sorghum crop has begun to head at 15%, leading last year's 1% and the 8% 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On Monday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade, and he said it's still weather-driven.
Yeah, you know, a lot of analysts are saying that conditions across the Midwest could be the worst in what we've seen in over 60 years. You know, a lot of people have tried to go back and compare this with 88 or some other years past where things have been dry, but in those years, it was kind of funny. Going into the weekend, the high was made that year on July 5th, so everyone thought that maybe we'd have an island reversal on the charts and be lower today, but obviously the grain trade is higher. We've toyed with limit up here in corn here this morning, currently up 35 or more cents. Beans are up about 40. So still looking at this weather forecast, that even though we've got some cooler temperatures in here compared to the 100-degree heat we saw most of last week, there's still no rain in the forecast, and that's something that's desperately going to be needed in a lot of areas. And if it continues that way, I would say this yield, today, if it started raining today everywhere, I think we're still capable of producing a 150 or maybe even better. But we know that's not going to happen today, and you probably lose a bushel or two almost every day we stay dry like this. Areas where it's been just very hot have not been given any relief whatsoever, and even though, like I said, the cooler temperatures come in, that rain doesn't come in. We're talking about more high-end yield loss, and a crop that's going to mature very quickly, and that means bushels that are coming off that final yield, and could be as bad, eventually, as a 125 to 150, depending on how long this lasts.
Or less than that. I would just imagine what the markets are saying is that the deal is pretty well done, and we're going to have like a fraction of a usual corn crop in spite of the record acres that have been planted.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and this is gets down to how much do we have to ration now? How many billion bushels do we have to ration? How many million is it per day, and how high does price need to go? And the nature of this rally, the way it has come, you got to expect that not many end users have been on board, and that means down the road at some point we're going to have to see some panic buying, or it's going to lead to liquidation of herds or whatever it may be. Obviously, it's going to choke off ethanol pretty quickly. This is the time of year where they usually see maintenance anyhows, but you wonder where their margins are going to be coming out of this thing. If alcohol prices can bounce, it will help a little bit, but that's going to be the first thing to go, our export demand as well. But you got to wonder here for the soybeans. Percentage-wise, they probably haven't seen as much of a rally compared to the corn as percentage of price. But again, we talk about the weather situation here. They've got a little bit longer period of time before they can be saved. And you could say right now that we could still save this bean crop. But again, if we don't get the rain, now you're talking about taking a lot of bean yield off too. And every bushel that this yield comes down, we lose about $75 million off the carryout. When the carryout's only 200 plus, that doesn't leave a lot of room.
Also, the carryover from last year to this, that has been going down over the past few years. That factors in too, doesn't it?
That's right. And we've also experienced a big shift in demand for soy meal from South America to the U.S., partly because of their production problems and some political issues. But you know, you got to wonder down the road here how bad it could get in the beans as well, you know, in relationship to the yield and what that could mean for price. We could definitely easily see some all-time highs here in both of these products again, all over again, and see corn exceed $8. So it just depends on how long this lasts as far as the weather is concerned and how many people are going to need to still get in this market.
We had a little bit of a sprinkling of rain around the area of Sunday evening, but I'm afraid it's not enough to help.
Yeah, in a lot of areas that did get it, it's going to be too little too late, depending on where you're at. And I think that's the situation the rest of the Corn Belt is going to be in here in about 2 weeks if we don't get some rain here pretty soon. There were some forecasts going into the weekend and even on Saturday that looked a little bit more promising, maybe offering up a lot more rain in the forecast, at least for the two-week outlook. But then on Monday, a lot of that reversed, and it's actually suggesting that the heat could come back. I don't think it's, at this point, suggesting it's going to be as extreme as what we've seen in the last 7 to 10 days, but it could be something that presses this crop even more. When you talk about early maturation, the fact that we got the crop in earlier than usual, now we've got heat. You know, this thing is going to, when it's all said and done, potentially be 3 or 4 weeks ahead of normal, and by the end of August, we should really know where we're at.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. The National Corn Growers Association has reached a new record high number of members. National Corn Growers Association President Gary Niemeyer says at the end of June, the NCGA reached 37,447 members. The previous record set in March was 37,231 members.
Our increased membership not only shows us that farmers value the activities and programs run by NCGA leadership and staff, but it also shows policymakers and legislators the impact that corn farmers make on our economy and communities. Members play an active role in organizational leadership in shaping the direction and activities and influencing public policy that affects all of our farmers.
Now, Mr. Niemeyer says the strength in numbers needs to be turned into grassroots action that gets the industry where it wants to be.
NCGA is part of a federation in cooperation with many state-level grower association and checkoff boards. More than 300,000 growers contribute to state and national organizations through corn checkoff funds in their states. And we need to speak out both as individuals and part of a substantial cohesive group on our behalf on the issues that impact our livelihood. If we don't, someone else will be promoting their agendas regarding corn, which more than likely are not favorable to corn farmers. We all need to get involved.
And Mr. Niemeyer also says the National Corn Growers Association faces challenges in maintaining support for renewable fuels and passing farm legislation.
To ensure that our legislators continue to value the critical role corn farmers play in our society, growers must work together through NCGA and state associations to leverage the industry's collective strength. Together, growers' voices are magnified in Washington to ensure agriculture interests are not unceremoniously pushed to the wayside.
The National Corn Growers Association would like to see Congress work together to get a farm bill done this year. Representative Jeff Flake of Arizona introduced legislation that calls for the Environmental Protection Agency to require fuel companies to blend only the amount of cellulosic ethanol currently being produced into gasoline. The American Farm Bureau Federation's energy specialist Andrew Walmsley explains why this would harm the biofuels industry and rob farmers of their chance to enter a new sector. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Erica Hooker has more.
American Farm Bureau Federation's energy specialist Andrew Walmsley says that a new bill introduced in Congress would undermine the renewable fuel standard by allowing fuel companies to blend only the amount of cellulosic ethanol that is currently produced into gasoline.
Basically, any weakening of the RFS is not a good thing for the country going forward. When you look at the ambitious goals that have been set to wean ourselves off of foreign sources of oil and create a domestic biofuels industry, that's a threat when you're trying to undermine that. And so if you're an investor, if you're saying, look, I'm going to go out and build a cellulosic ethanol plant, or I'm going to invest in this research to create these biofuels, if I see a weakening of that, I see a market that isn't easy to access now being taken away, it makes you think twice about putting your money into investing in that new technology.
Walmsley says that this bill would take away any incentive to consume less oil. He also points out that the Environmental Protection Agency already has the authority to waive or get rid of unrealistic requirements if there's not enough cellulosic fuel available.
There's flexibility built in, and they have waived some of the requirements that were set out in that original law. This is the decision that Congress and the President signed in 2007, saying, look, we want to get off of foreign sources of oil, we want to have a domestic fuels industry, and this is the ambitious goals we've set forward. And so we're going to continue to uphold those and move forward, and those vested interests don't necessarily like that.
Walmsley goes on to explain what qualifies as cellulosic ethanol. As it turns out, many things people consider plant waste products could be used as fuel.
It could be trees, it could be corn stalks, it could be grasses, perennial grasses, other crops that we may or may not have traditionally grown. It could be invasive species that we're able to go out and harvest and control and now turn into a fuel. So it's a wide range of crops.
Erica Hooker, Washington.
Some other notes in the news on this Tuesday morning. Production of ethanol is slowing as manufacturers struggle with record low profit margins. Last month, Valero Energy, one of the largest ethanol producers, temporarily closed two of its 10 plants. The Renewable Fuels Association says the cutbacks are a reflection of the market. The House Agriculture Committee unveiled its approach for a long-term farm and food bill that would reduce spending by $3.5 billion a year. Almost half of that coming from cuts in the federal food stamp program. Construction of an electrical substation that will supply ADM's East plant in Decatur is expected to begin later this summer after Macon County's Enterprise Zone is expanded. This week, the National Pork Board will meet to begin work on its 2013 plan and budget. The planning process begins each year with an assessment of market conditions, projection of available checkoff revenue, and then the establishment of a fiscal year spending target. Economist Steve Meyer, who consults for the board, says 2013 appears to be a year of unusual uncertainty. He says the summer drought in the Corn Belt means feed costs will put great pressure on profitability in 2013. National Pork Board President Conley Nelson says between the current projections for hog prices and the threat to corn yields due to hot, dry weather, 2013 is shaping up to be a difficult one for farmers. He says board members will be very cognizant of those facts as they set a spending target for the year that addresses the need to promote pork domestically and internationally and the commitment to managing programs that protect the ability of farmers to operate freely and keep the U.S. competitive. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is disappointed with the approach to payment limits in a draft farm bill released by House Agriculture Committee leaders on Thursday. He says the grassroots have called for sensible commodity program caps to prevent subsidizing big farm operations with taxpayer dollars so they can get even bigger. In addition, Senator Grassley says it's important to ensure farm payments go to actual farmers. He notes the Senate-passed farm bill included provisions to limit payments, including a $50,000 cap on the Agricultural Risk Coverage Program, the closing of loopholes exploited by non-farmers, and a $75,000 cap on marketing loan gains and loan deficiency payments. Senator Grassley says the House draft doesn't even stick with the status quo for payment limits. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at $8.75, that's down 10. September wheat trading at $8.17, that's down 11.25. July corn now trading at $7.60¾, down 6.5. September corn trading at $7.24, down 8. July soybeans now trading at $16.54¼, down 10¾. August beans trading at $15.97¾, that is down 9. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106, beginning this morning at 9:32. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.